Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7. We live in a society, and the world around us, Western society thinks this, I think so many societies do, whether they're Western or not, that believe that things are getting better, that things are improving, that mankind has achieved great things over the course of the past century, that the technologies, the things that are going on are amazing. To some degree they are, but that is, it only portends even greater things for mankind. It's the worldview that's around us, that things are just going to continue to improve and improve. It is the idea that what they believe about mankind is founded upon the fact that man has evolved or gotten better over the course of his existence and will continue to do so. Man today knows more and behaves better than those that lived 100, 200, or even 1,000 years ago. That's what they think. They believe that the modern advances of mankind mean that he is getting better and better. The Bible doesn't create that picture, doesn't paint that picture whatsoever. The Bible paints the picture that at the beginning, man was at his height, that Adam and Eve were created perfect, that they knew more than we know, that their bodies were better than our bodies. And although there may be technological advances over the course of time, that indeed man is getting worse and worse, that sin is becoming more and more rampant. The picture that Jesus paints for us in this passage is one that is not pretty to behold. It's not pretty to think about. That is a difficult one. It's showing us that mankind is not improving, and indeed cannot improve. Although it may make the outside look better, the inside is getting worse and worse. It is a fundamental flaw in the way the world views things. It is incumbent upon Christians to make that clear. It is incumbent upon us to preach God's word, to let them know that the problem is not education, the problem is not how we necessarily treat one another or the laws that are made. The problem is sin at the heart of every single man, woman, and child on the planet. That's the problem. We're looking at Mark chapter 7, verses 14 through 23. Jesus says, it says, "And when he had called all the people unto him, he said unto them, Hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. There is nothing from without a man, that entering into him can defile him. But the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. And he saith unto them, Are ye so without understanding also? Do ye not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him, because it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly, and goeth out into the draught, purging all meats. And he said, That which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man." Jesus is speaking here to the people and then specifically to the disciples. He's warning them because of what the Pharisees taught, for what the Pharisees believed. In verse 14 and verse 15, he's being very specific. He's telling them that he calls them together and contradicts the Pharisees. He contradicts the teachings of the Pharisees. Because the Pharisees, remember, had come and they said, "How come your disciples don't wash before they eat? How come they eat bread with unwashed hands?" And Jesus, you know, he launches into something, and most of us may not understand why he does this. Why is he so worked up about the fact that the Pharisees wanted his disciples to wash their hands before they ate? Now, we teach our children, I think everybody in England probably does, you should wash your hands before you eat. It makes sense, doesn't it? So why is Jesus so worked up about this statement? Because we tell them to wash their hands because we don't want the dirt or any particular bug that they picked up from some place to get on their food and then get into themselves and make them ill. That's what we're thinking about. We're thinking about the physical body to keep them well, to keep them whole. But see, that's not what the Pharisees were teaching. That was not why the Pharisees would have people to wash their hands before they ate anything. You see, what the Pharisees were teaching was something completely different. They were teaching something that you had to wash your hands ceremonially. You had to wash them in the manner prescribed for the priests at the tabernacle and the temple. That unless you had done that, then you were spiritually impure. They weren't talking about anything to do with the physical purity. They were completely speaking about the spiritual. You see, God had told the priests in the Old Testament to do this because they were approaching God, and what God was saying is the outward is representing what the inward should be. This is teaching you what your inside should be like, that the only way to be purified is to come to Him spiritually. And so these outward signs and symbols were pointing to the inside. Well, the Pharisees took this and the scribes before them after the exile, and they say, you know what? If it's good enough for the priests, then it's good enough for every one of us. And they took what was the ceremonial law and they applied it to everybody in the country, to every situation in the country, Isaiah. They applied this. And so everyone, unless you washed your hands ceremonially like the priests did, then you were unclean. You were defiled. You could not enter the synagogue. You could not enter the temple. That's what the Pharisees were teaching. Well, Jesus calls the people and he contradicts them. And he speaks with authority. He tells them, this is not so. This is not the way it is. It is not that what you do that keeps you from defilement. It's not that what you do that makes you defiled. You're defiled already. You're defiled from the inside. Your spiritual uncleanness is what matters, and that can only happen in the spirit. That can only happen inside your soul. You know, it's one of those things when Jesus is teaching this that we have to recognize no one can force someone else to sin. I can't make any of you to do right or to do wrong. Now the government, it can lay down laws and it can say, you need to do right, to follow these laws. They can't force you to do them. The only thing they can do is punish you if you don't. And that's the same way for every single one of us. I can't force you to do right. I also can't force you to do wrong. No one else can either. It is completely your choice. When you do something wrong, it is your responsibility. No one else's. Now, there may have been influences. There may have been peer pressure. There may have been mitigating circumstances. But no one can deny the fact that when you do something wrong, it is your fault. It is your responsibility. And that's exactly what Jesus is telling us through this. No man can make you sin. It is never God's design to have you sin so that good may come. Paul tells us that in Romans. You can think back to Peter. When Peter is there after Jesus has been arrested and he denies the Lord three times. In Peter's mind, I'm sure he's thinking, well, not sure, but I think he's thinking, well, if I say I'm with Jesus, they're going to arrest me too. He's given me a responsibility to do things. And so I'm going to lie. Well, Peter, you know, God could have and would have protected you in some way without your sin. There's never a cause to sin before God. It is always right to follow Him. So Jesus tells the people, listen, let him that has ears to hear, listen to what I'm saying. This is life changing. This is completely opposite to every religion in the world. Every religion in the world is telling you if you follow this set of rules, then you will be right before their God. There are Christian groups that say, I use the word Christian loosely, that say the same thing. That if you follow this list of rules, you will be right before God. Jesus says, absolutely not. It is from within that is defilement comes. It's from your heart. Nowhere else. It's not the actions you do, the actions you don't do. That's the result of your defilement, not the cause of it. And so the disciples ask him about this. They say, it says, Mark says, they ask him about the parable. And we don't know what parable he taught. We don't know what it was that he was teaching as a parable. But nonetheless, Jesus is surprised, humanly speaking, that the disciples still don't get it. He's been teaching them now for quite some time, a year and a half, close to 2 years. They don't understand, and Jesus is surprised by this. And he says, you know, it's not what we eat. It's not what we drink. That can't defile you. It can make you sick. It can make you ill. But it can't cause you to be spiritually unclean. Why? Because it doesn't enter the heart. It enters the belly. That's the difficulty. You know, and that has huge implications. Peter didn't really latch on to this, did he? Because we find him in Acts chapter 10, I believe, where he's there on the rooftop. And then he's going to go to the house of Cornelius. The cloth is let down and he's commanded to go and eat. He says, oh, I'm not going to eat anything unclean. The Lord says, don't call unclean what I've called clean. Why? Because it's not what you eat that defiles you. It's not what you eat that makes you proper in God's sight. If that's true, the converse also has to be true. And this is something that some of our so-called Christian friends ought to remember as well. If nothing that I put into my body can defile me, then there is nothing that I can put into my body to make me holy. Do you follow that? If nothing that I put into my body makes me sinful, then nothing that I put into my body can make me holy either. And so for those that believe that grace is transmitted, that saving grace is transmitted when they take part of the Lord's table, they think that it is changed from the bread and the fruit of the vine into the body and blood of Christ. They think that they are transmitting grace to the eater. They miss the fact that nothing they can eat, nothing they can put in their body can make them holy. It is a table of remembrance to honor the Lord's death until He comes. It is not transmitting salvation. Why? Because it's impossible. What's possible? It's only through God's grace that salvation comes. It is not what you put in, but the things that are inside you. That's what defiles you. And look at the list. I mean, the list that He gives us. And this list is not, this is the list for those other people over there. This is the list for all of us. Evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murder, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness. This is unbridled lust, shamelessness, wantonness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. You know, it says these all come out from the heart and they turn into actions. That's scary, isn't it? All these evil things, all these things that come, they come from the heart. It's not because somebody was walking by and dressed inappropriately. It comes from inside me. It's not because this person, you know, they've done awful things, but look at all the wealth they've got, I want that. No, that comes from within me. My scornfulness, my judgmental spirit about others, that's not because they're doing wrong, it's coming from within me. My pride that I know more than others know, that's coming from inside me. My deceit, my wickedness, it's all coming from within us. And This is an incredibly powerful statement by Jesus. We're all sinners. This is groundbreaking. If you're a Christian today and you've been a Christian for a while or you've sat under the teaching of someone for a long time, it doesn't sound groundbreaking. But think about the situation when Jesus says this. This is life-altering for the Jews. This is life-altering for the disciples. They had been taught by the Pharisees that all the outward trappings of religion was what made them holy. That if you followed A, B, and C all the way down through Z, you'd become holy. That the better you followed the law, the holier you became. And Jesus says that's not the case. Your outward actions have no bearing upon the inside. There's nothing you can do to wipe your slate clean. Why? Because the inside is what defiles the man. Jeremiah says it, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? There are people today throughout the world that call themselves Christians, and they're not. Why? Because the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. They have deceived themselves, or have been deceived into thinking that whatever it is they have done has earned them salvation. In Catholicism, it's the idea that they're going to follow the works of the Catholic Church. Pray these particular prayers. In Islam, it's really no different. In Hinduism, it's bowing before their idols and giving the proper respect. In evangelical circles, it's praying a prayer. It's, in the U.S., walking down an aisle. Some places, it's being baptized. I heard a man just recently in this country who said that somebody, an evangelical, had the authority to say to someone, your sins are forgiven, because they've done A, B, and C. And say, oh no, God has saved you. Well, that's not possible. That's from an evangelical man in this country less than a month ago. That's appalling. If my heart is deceitful and wicked above all else, what about somebody else's? How can I judge their heart if I can't even judge my own heart? That's God's business. It's to every one of us. And Paul says in Romans 3, what then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved, both Jews and Gentiles, that all are under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips. His mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. In the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. That's the problem. There is no fear of God before their eyes. And just so you're clear, this is not new teaching. Jesus is not teaching something new. He's teaching them what they should have already known. Why? Because Paul, he's quoting Isaiah. He's not quoting, he's not making something up. Jesus isn't teaching new things. He's clarifying the old things. He's letting the people know, no, you missed it. You got it wrong. It's not about these outward things. It's about the inside. Why? Because the heart is deceitful above all things. Why? Because there's none that doeth good. The only way you can be good is to go to God, to seek forgiveness by Him, not by your outward actions. Nobody can make you a sinner. You already are one. And not only are you one, you want to be one. And before we get too high and mighty, let us realize sin's enjoyable. Sin can be fun for a season until it's over. And then comes the guilt and the shame. The knowledge that you have no standing before God. See, there's implications of his teaching. So here are hopefully some of them. And they will help us, I think, in understanding some of who Jesus is. This is the reason Jesus was never defiled. So you remember the miracles that Jesus performs. That according to the ceremonial law, he should have been defiled. He should have been unclean. He touched the woman. The woman who had the issue of blood and touched him. That should have made Jesus unclean. When he touched a leper a number of times, that should have made him unclean. When he raised someone from the dead, he touched them. The dead body should have made Jesus unclean. And yet at no time was Jesus ever unclean. Why? Because there was nothing from within inside Jesus that could make him unclean. Grace and virtue flowed out of him so that when he touches the dead body, it's not dead anymore. So when a woman with the issue of blood touches him, she has no issue of blood anymore. Jesus never becomes unclean. There's no sin in him but light and life. Nothing from the outside could defile him. Because there was nothing on the inside. Augustine said, light, even though it passes through pollution, is not polluted. Think about that for a moment. When the Bible says Jesus took our sins upon him, what happened? He did not become unclean. He did not become a sinner before God. He took my sin upon him. He bore the weight of my penalty. He bore the weight of my judgment. But he made my sin disappear. Just as he raised the dead. Just as he healed the leper. Virtue flowed from him to me. My sin was washed away. He didn't bear it and take it to the grave. It was washed away. It was made clean. He bore my punishment on the tree. He bore my penalty on the tree. By his stripes I was made clean. One of the clearer teachings of this, man is not intrinsically good. No matter how much the world today will tell us man is good and man is getting better and there's good in everybody, that's not true. It's either Jesus is true or they're true. Jesus is right or they're right. Jesus says, all these evil things are coming from within. That's the nature of your heart. It does away with works salvation. It does away with legalism. See, the problem is man understands rituals. He understands if I follow a list of rules, he doesn't understand that which is spiritual. Why? Because he's dead. He's spiritually dead. And so he wants a list of rules so that he can comfort himself. Jesus says that which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the spirit is spirit. That's the difference. You must be born again. That's the answer, isn't it? One of the things that Christians in this world, I speak especially today, have to get drilled into their head. There is no earthly power that can make a bad heart good. There is no earthly thing that can make a bad heart good. Education won't do it. Education will just make you a better educated sinner. Culture won't do it. It just will make you look like a whitewashed tomb on the outside, when the inside is full of dead men's bones. Social reform, social equality, it's not going to change the heart of mankind. Revolution? That's not going to do it. Being in the EU or outside the EU, that makes no difference. Having a better president in the office, a better leader at number 10, that doesn't matter. That's not going to change the heart of anyone. You can debate till you're blue in the face about the immoral laws of a nation. And they're getting more immoral. And we ought to pray for the nation. We ought to prostrate ourselves before God that He'll change things. Because He is the only one who can change things. His Word, His Spirit is it. There's no other answer. Because mankind can't do it. The laws of a nation will never work themselves into the heart of a people. to bring them to Christ. They'll just be more moral as they're on their way to hell. Would I like to live in a country that didn't have abortion? Absolutely. Would I like to live in a country that didn't have homosexual marriage? Absolutely. Would I like to live in a country where alcohol was not the high and lifted up mindset of the culture, where sexuality wasn't the focus of every individual? Absolutely. I'd love to be in that place. But being in that place is not going to save anybody's soul. Only the gospel will do that. Why? Because it's from within. Each and every single man, woman, and child, that's where sin comes from. What's necessary? Well, unfortunately for all of us, the wages of sin is death, according to Romans 6. But in Ezekiel 36, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put in within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. That's the answer. It's having your stony heart removed, your dead heart taken out. And you're having a heart transplant. And having a heart of flesh put within. A living, beating heart. And you're spiritually alive. So like Jesus says in John 3, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." That's the requirement. That's the stony heart being removed and a heart of flesh being put within. It's a work of God. That's what's going to handle the sin. Thankfully, when you think about the wages of sin, the wonderful word in the scriptures, "But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." That's amazing. That's awe-inspiring. That God, when we were dead, quickened us, if you're a Christian today. And if you are still in your sin, you're still dead, you can be quickened. You can be made alive through faith in the only begotten Son of God. That's why Paul can say in 2 Corinthians, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." What are the old things that are passed away? My slavery to sin. All of the awful things that I have done, they're gone. They've been washed in the blood of Christ. I've become new. And although I am still a sinner and still sin, I'm forgiven. And as I endeavor to not sin, I'm doing it now not because I'm trying to earn something, but it's out of love. It's out of a desire to honor the name that's been placed upon me. And that's a complete shift. He's made me an ambassador for Him. He's made you an ambassador for Him if you're a Christian. Think upon these things. Think about the difference between the world and Christianity. That this statement by Jesus, "There's nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man." That all the evil that we see in the world today, we can blame it on Satan, we can blame it on this, we can blame it on that. Where does it come from? The heart of man. The heart of man. That's who's responsible. When you see the awful things happening to others, don't blame it on God. Don't blame it on Satan. Blame it on mankind. Because that's where sin comes from. The heart of man. We need a cure. That cure is only Jesus Christ. Each and every one of us is a sinner, but there's hope. There's hope. There is no us versus them. The racial strife in the world is ridiculous. Why? Because we're all of the same race. We're all from Adam. And we've all inherited his sin. We need a new heart. We need to come to God through Christ Jesus, seeking forgiveness because of all these evil things that come from within us. But there's grace, there's mercy at the cross of Christ. It's not to be found anywhere else. It's not to be found at some table. It's to be found in Jesus Christ alone. We partake of Him by faith alone. We point you to Him. Amen.